Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Well, don't look now, but we are already 2 days into June, nearly half a week into that fleeting period in Wisconsin known as summer. Maybe you have big plans for the summer, but even the busiest among us have those summer days or nights when we're considering how to spend the time.
The City Guide issue of Milwaukee Magazine is on newsstands now and offers some new ways of looking at a season we thought we knew well. Carol Nixon is the magazine's editor-in-chief, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be here, Mitch.
So with your first year plus under your belts in Milwaukee, how has your time here, the 15 months or so, shaped the vision of the City Guide issue?
I think it gave me a particular advantage because I think it's the case anywhere you live. After you've been there a while, you kind of stop doing all those things that you did when you first arrived. So last year, not only was I new, but I had a lot of house guests almost every weekend from July 1st through Labor Day. And I saw a lot. I experienced a lot. I ate a lot. I just did everything. So many of the things that we feature in the City Guide are things I discovered last year.
And you mentioned house guests, and I think about my first year or two here and the same phenomenon. And I would imagine that the feature on places to take out-of-town guests probably was directly inspired by that.
It certainly was. I even had house guests tell me that I needed to put these things in City Guide next year because they were so wonderful, including the trolley. I had two guests from New York, but they were both originally from the UK. They took that trolley ride. It's a hop-on, hop-off thing, dollar every time you go on. But on the trolley, there are people telling you about what you're seeing and the history of Milwaukee. And my two friends came off that trolley ride knowing more, not only than I knew, but than my colleagues who've lived here all their lives knew. So,
well, and it's one of those things that, you know, if you live here, you might not ever think
right.
of taking the trolley yourself.
Exactly.
And of course, we should say that the City Guide, you know, really could be used all year. But there are a lot of things in this guide that are pretty specific to this time of year. What do you think makes the next 3 months or so special for Milwaukee?
That's such a good question, because when I arrived a year ago, March, and was complaining about the weather, and people just would unanimously say, wait till summer. And I'd think, what could be so special? I mean, summer is always great. It's hard to put your finger on exactly what makes it special here. I have to say pent-up demand would be my best guess, that we just wait so long for it to come around, and once it's here, it's like, it's summer.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, summer is a great season, as you say, just mm-hmm. about anywhere, but here it's so much a state of mind as much as it is a climate change.
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, I mean, if I were to wax poetic about it, I do think there's something about summer in Milwaukee. The days seem to sprawl out much, you know, in the sort of lazy way that you might even think of more being more typical of the South or something. But it just feels like summer is bigger and better and more relaxed. And I think the best part about summer is that it always makes it revives that child part in us. And here in Milwaukee, I think it really does that exceptionally well.
So with that in mind, how is this year's City Guide organized?
Well, that was, you know, organizing it is always a problem, and you want to make it different than the years before and find a new approach, and yet you want to find an approach that allows you to pack in all the things, the great things that all the editors at the magazine want to see on the pages. So we came up with the premise of 14 weekends of summer that takes us through this coming weekend all the way through Labor Day. And while some of the weekends are truly specific to the dates we've pegged them to, others you could do any weekend during the summer. Like we have a weekend for kids, what to do with kids. And those activities you can do anytime. But that's how we just decided to organize it that way.
You know what struck me looking at this, and it's in an enormous font, the number 14, it doesn't sound like a very large number.
It's
like summer is almost gone and it hasn't even started yet.
It sees the day. Come on.
All right. So there are a couple of features that really jumped out at me. And one of them is kind of a summer long, could be a year round sort of thing. But one of them was the plan for a Milwaukee all-nighter. We are not necessarily known as the city that never sleeps. In fact, we might be the city that sleeps in a couple of instances.
Well, I guess that's true. But to me, there's something about staying up all night, and I don't do it often, that, you know, again, it speaks to a younger part of myself. And the idea of staying up to watch the sunrise, I mean, I think that that's such a momentous thing. And we do have very, very dramatic sunrises here. I have seen a few.
We are fortunate to have this big lake that the sun rises
exactly,
over.
Exactly, that big old body of water. So we came up with some activities to keep you busy while you're waiting for the sunrise. And you know that we don't have after-hours clubs or anything like that, but you can go over to the bakery and wait for them to start baking the bread and just inhale that wonderful smell. You can also head out to the airport where our only 24-hour Starbucks is.
And you can bowl until 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah, there are a few things you can do till pretty late. So bowling is one of them. You can hang out at Jazz Estate and listen to some music till fairly late. Afterwards, you can go over to Ma Fisher's and eat very slowly.
And of course, by the middle of the summer, you know, I guess this is actually for the next to last weekend of summer, uh-huh, as the article lays it out. But if you do it around, you know, around the summer solstice,
yes,
you don't have to stay up that late to see the sunrise. It's got to be rising at like 4:45 at that point.
Mitch, that's a brilliant point. We did not think of that when we were planning it out, but point well taken. Yes.
Well, of course, around that time of year is when Summerfest is going on. And, you know, there are people that might think that they know all there is to know about Summerfest. But the idea of this article is really how to enjoy Summerfest, maybe if you're a newbie or maybe just if you've never sat down and strategized.
Exactly. So we enlisted a writer who has been to almost every Summerfest since the very first one. He came up with, I mean, he didn't come up with them. These are strategies he has tried and tested, and he knows them to work. And one of my favorites is, you know, you can get in, typically you can, there's lots of coupons that can get you in for free during the afternoon. So you go in, you get your hand stamped, then you leave and go to the third ward, take advantage of all the happy hours, just make sure to get back well before 7 o'clock, which is the witching hour, so you can, you know, get back in and not have to pay. I think it's great.
And he makes the point that, because a lot of people complain that all the bands they want to see,
yes,
are playing at the same time,
yes,
that bands often play a couple of hits really early in their show just to get the crowd on their side, and then they move on to something else. So find the band that you really want to see some hits, watch them, and then move on to the other bands you want to,
yes,
see.
Yes, he has a whole pyramid scheme for you know, catching more than one act at a given hour. So yeah.
Now, you wrote a feature for this guide that I will confess has always kind of, the concept has interested me. I've done a piece on an interview on the history of this place, but I've never been. The Great Lakes Dragway. What was that like?
Oh, well, I love car races. I typically go to the Indy 500 every year, and one of the highlights of my first year in Milwaukee was I got to drive Porsches around the Miracle Mile, which was fantastic. But the Great Lakes Dragway is a vintage 1950s drag strip in Union Grove, and so a drag strip is a quarter-mile race. You have two cars. They go full blast for a quarter mile. It's over before it's started, practically. And I like to watch from the finish line so I could see the whole thing, and I could see them go from their top speed back down to zero. It's very dramatic, and as the owner says, it's a total sensory experience. So it's partly the noise, it's partly the visual of seeing them, and the smell of the burning rubber and the gas, and it just does it for me.
Well, and if I remember correctly, there are nights that people can bring their own cars,
yes,
and race as well.
Yes, yes. I keep thinking I want to do that, but I have a friend who's like, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But yeah, you can bring your own car. They also have special nights where it's jet-fueled cars. They have a jet engine, and they go as fast as 200-plus miles per hour in the quarter mile. And then they have parachutes that come out the back to stop them. If all goes well. Yeah, if all goes well. Yes, yes.
Well, and you also reference what the racetrack, which is kind of the anti-Great Lakes Dragaway, Road America, which I have, I guess I haven't driven on it. I've ridden on it in my father-in-law's vintage RX-7, and it was an amazing experience.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Now, yeah, that's that as gritty as the Dragaway is, that the opposite is true of Elkhart Lake. It's very civilized. I think it's a 5 mile long
something like that. Yeah,
track. You can't see the whole track at once. So you typically will wander around from one vantage point to another. We give some tips for the person like myself who really wants to feel the noise. There's some places where it's really going to rumble. But in general, it's just a nice place. It's a nice civilized way to spend the day. And they have all types of races there, too.
Well, there's too much to cover in one single interview. But what's one more highlight from the City Guide that you think we ought to reference?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was really excited because a woman named Anna Lardinois, who is the founder of Gothic Milwaukee, created a walking tour for the issue. It's a downtown walking tour. She highlights some of the historical buildings and gives you great nuggets of information about each of them. And then we have an extended version of the tour online. And I think it's a gem. And it's something that you can do by yourself. You can bring your visitors. It's just, you know, it's one of the top 10 things to do this summer.
Well, we will be sure to link people to the online edition of that. Carol Nixon, great as always to see you.
And great to see you.
Carol Nixon is editor-in-chief at Milwaukee Magazine. The magazine's City Guide issue is out now and is on newsstands through the summer. You'll find a link to highlights from WUWM.com.